Good morning again. Amen. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13. And I would like to again thank you on behalf of my wife and I, Grace Baptist Church, for your great hospitality, the accommodation. It's been a blessing. The food, everything, appreciate it so very, very much. And of course, the messages that have been preached have been edifying to my soul. And I mean that very, very much. It's good to be here. In Exodus chapter 13, it reads, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We ask for fresh grace. Again, Lord, that you would bless, that thy spirit may accompany thy word. For as the dear brother Gordon Bayless would say many a times, we want to hear a sound from heaven, O God. Bless, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen. So my subject again is the bones of Joseph, an act of faith. No doubt that Exodus chapter 13 is a very crucial chapter in the book of Exodus as it begins the deliverance of the Israelites under the leadership of Moses from Egypt and of course by the power of the might of Jehovah God. In chapter 13, at least four times in verses 3, 9, 14, and 16, he says, "By the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought us out of Egypt." And of course, you have in chapter 12 the story of the last plague, if you wish, the 10th plague of the death angel that smites the firstborn of men and beasts, and then divorced the institution of the memorial of the Lord's Passover, the spoiling of the Egyptians, and the Israelites being driven out of Egypt. Of course, chapter 14 of Exodus, it has the story of the crossing of the Red Sea and the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. Sandwiched in between, again, you have chapter 13. And no doubt chapter 13 has some good blessings. But right in the middle of chapter 13 and toward the end, it's the mentioning of Joseph's bones. And perhaps we might ask, what is so significant in the mentioning of Joseph's bones? Especially in such of the middle of a great departure in haste. In our chief text in verse 19, again it informs us that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him in the midst of this massive exodus of a few million Israelites from Egypt. I mean, they were to leave in haste. But Moses stops to make sure that he has Joseph's bones. So again, we ask, you know, they have laid in a coffin for hundreds of years. And they're finally being delivered by the mighty power of God under the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. And as they're prepared to leave, Moses makes sure that he has Joseph's bones. So again, we might ask, what caused him to do this? What prompted him? What motivated him to act in such a manner? We only have a one-word answer, and that's faith. Faith. It was faith that caused Moses to pack Joseph's bones. I mean, again, for hundreds of years, those bones were in the coffin where the children of Israel were in under bondage, way up in the tribulation, suffering with vexed bondage under Pharaoh. And there they laid, by faith, hundreds of years, the bones, a prophet's bones, patiently waiting for that visitation of God that one day they would leave Egypt for the promised land. Of course, chapter 14, led by the providence of God, the edge of the Red Sea, mountains to the left, mountains to the right, the Red Sea in front of them, and behind them is Pharaoh. There's no way of escape. The providence of God brought them to this point, and Pharaoh's army is waiting till the morning, thinking they're going to have a massive slaughter, massacre of the people. And then you have the Hebrews complaining in faithless fear to Moses that they're going to perish. But little did they know, those bones that they carried said they were a bunch of fearful liars. You see, Moses did not leave, nor would he leave Egypt without Joseph's bones. Maybe this is not the best example, but it's like, what is the one thing you don't leave home without on Sunday morning? Your Bible. Your Bible. And so there is a sense that the bones also preach a sermon to Moses and to the people. And Moses would not think of one moment leaving Egypt without the bones of Joseph. Three simple things in my message. Number one, the promise in a fixed heart. Secondly, the performance in a faithful heart. And then lastly, the perseverance in a fruitful heart. First of all, the promise in a fixed heart. The first point centers around the life of Joseph. In other words, that he had a fixed heart set upon God and laying hold of the promise of God. Remind me of Psalm 57, where they would say, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." That describes Joseph for me. In other words, he had the promises of God in his heart. They were cemented. They were secured. His heart was anchored in the promises of God. Joseph is about to die. And he's about to die in Egypt. And the promises of God, they were in Joseph's heart. They were fixed, settled, and nothing would shake him or cause him to forget God's promise. Let me ask you a question. What will come to your heart when death comes to knocking upon your door? In Joseph's heart, there were the promises of God. Another Psalm, Psalm 112:7 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed, trusting God." Again, to me, this is the heart of Joseph. Turn quickly a few chapters over to the last chapter of Genesis. Genesis 50. In Genesis 50, at the end of verse 22, we're told that Joseph lived 110 years. Picking up at verse 24, it says, "And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob.' Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence.' Joseph died, being 110 years, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Here we have the promise in a fixed heart. Again, it speaks of Joseph's heart that was saturated with the promises of God, which included the promise that was made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, transferred to Joseph by oral tradition. Because the Word of God was not written there. But yet it was transferred to Joseph. And it lay powerfully in his heart. What about us? We have 66 books. The full revealed will of God. All Joseph had were the oral promises given to him. And of course the dreams that God had given him. I mean, when you consider everything that Joseph went through in his trial, his tribulation, when it's all said and done, in his heart, he kept the promises of God. The promise made to Abraham. The promise even made to him personally by God. And he did it with a fixed, unshakable heart. That even at the point of dying, he's about to die. And what is he concerned about? His bones. To make sure that his bones will not stay in Egypt forever. And so he's about to die. The promises of God in his heart, they're in his soul, they're in his mind. All that was communicated to him. And we see this unbelievable conviction fixed in the promises of God. Remember, Joseph was a man tempted by sin. A man tempted also by the possession of great posterity. But Joseph had this unshakable, steadfast faith. Knowing God was with him. His faith was unquestionably and absolutely strong. And of course, this is all due again to the sustaining and divine and effectual grace of the Spirit of God upon him. No doubt that the operation of the Spirit was in his heart. Joseph persevered because God sovereignly preserved him. Joseph was a faithful man. Joseph walked by faith. Joseph lived by faith. Yea, Joseph died in faith. We can also say that perhaps this is the application of the just shall live by faith. The grace of God was no doubt sufficient for Joseph. Grace gave him faith in God, kept him faithful toward God. Grace kept his eyes upon God, and he was about to die. He gives this wonderful prophecy regarding his bones by faith, believing, trusting that his bones would one day be buried in the promised land. Just before I go to the next point, let me make something. I find this interesting. Here we have Joseph at the age of 17. Because of the jealousy and yet the bitterness of his brothers, he's sold into slavery, carried away into a foreign heathen country. He remained there for so many years, surrounded by wicked idolaters. And all the time, I guess he thought he would never see his father again. And you think about it, 17 years old, a young man. And in all that time, I believe it was very unlikely that he came into contact with anybody else of like precious faith. I doubt it very much. He came in contact with another believer. I mean, not one who would worship the living and true God, Jehovah. In other words, he truly was the lone ranger, the lone believer in the land of many gods. That sounds like America, doesn't it? The land of many gods. Well, this is where we find Joseph. But the difference is, he is the only believer in that land. Stop for a moment. Consider that for a second. Can you imagine being the only believer in the USA? The only believer in America. Can you imagine? The government has removed all and any Christian concept. There are no churches, no Bible, no sermon, no Christian teachings on the radio and the TV. No Facebook for Joseph. Can you imagine being in the land where there's not even one evidence, one shred of Christianity? Not one Bible, not one sermon, one message on the airways. No FM or FM there, brother. Being all alone, the only believer in the true and living God. You see, this is where you find Joseph. 17 years old and not one speck of evidence that there's any other believer. What would you do? What would I do? We would give up the promises of God? We throw the towel in? Will we forget the faith, be mad at God and call out that card? Woe is me. Why, God? Why me, O Lord? Why did you send me to this foreign country? A place that I don't even understand the language. Not a single child of God. No Bible to read. Not a brother or sister to help and pray for me. How can you bring me to this land? And in the midst of all his temptations and snares and trials around him, all he had transferred down to him orally were the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his father, his great-grandfather, his grandfather's father, transferred down to him verbally. No brother, no sister, all alone. But Joseph remained absolutely true to his God. He held to those promises that God had communicated to him. This is astonishing, unbelievable conviction when you think about it. His heart was fixed in the promises of God. He's getting ready to die, and he's more concerned about his bones to make sure that they're buried where? In the promised land. And this is a man that, I believe, defines the word, the just shall live by faith. Secondly, the performance in a faithful heart. The second point is centered more around Moses. Joseph gave the commandment, but Moses was the one that would carry out the commandment of Joseph to take the bones of Joseph from Egypt into the promised land. In the faithful heart of Moses, the act of Moses was also by faith. And it stands out in Exodus 13, where he does fulfill Joseph's commandment to carry the bones from Egypt to Canaan. Again, this act of faith by Moses is just, I believe, as powerful as Joseph's faith to command them to carry out. Can you imagine? Here is Moses, 40 years in the hut and burning sun. 40 years in the hut and burning desert. So many trials and tribulations. But in the midst of it all, Moses makes sure that those bones of Joseph are secured and packed. that they would not get lost or forgotten at any one point of the travel. I mean, the idea is, or the question is, who in the right man carries about the dead bones of another man for 40 years? Moses does. How does he do that? By faith. Believing, trusting God regarding the promise and fulfilling the commandment of Joseph, specific orders to carry the bones up. Remember, God has instructed His people in Genesis regarding the promised covenant, His purpose, His plan, His will, even that they would be in Egypt for 430 years in Exodus 12, 14, 41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the self same day. It said again in verse 51, even the self same day. I mean, doesn't that blow your mind? The self same day. Moses became the guardian of these bones, which was a test of faith for him also. His heart was just as fixed as Joseph's heart in the promises of God. And no doubt that Joseph and Moses both amplified and epitomized the truth again, that the just shall live by faith. Moses paid great honor, great faith in taking the bones in those hot 40 burning years in the desert. I mean, with all the awful rebellion of the people, the trials, the tribulation, the unbelief. I mean, he might have forgotten this here, forgotten that there, so many things. But one thing for sure, he never forgot about those bones. He always made sure, no matter what happened, those bones were with him. And this is why I entitled my second point, The Performance in the Faithful Heart. Because Moses was faithful to the end. That even when he was about to die, that he entrusted the bones to Joshua to make sure they'd be buried in the promised land. Were they? Were they not? Well, we know that in Genesis 33, Jacob had bought a plot of land. But by the time you get to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, I just love this. In Joshua 24, verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, Timnah Serah, which is Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlieved Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that we had done. Verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the son of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became an inheritance of the children of Joseph. You can read that in Genesis 33. The idea, guess what? The bones of Joseph did arrive to the promised land. Because of the faith of Joshua. Excuse me, for the faith of Joseph and the faith of Moses. Before they died, both Joseph and Moses made sure that the bones would be buried where? In the promised land. They kept the words, the oath of Joseph to bury him in the promised land. And so when they left Egypt, they did not leave Egypt empty-handed. And along with that, it included the bones of Joseph being carried out by faith. Find that so interesting. Again, in Exodus 50:25, Joseph made the sons of Israel to make an oath. That is, he told them, God will not only visit you, but God will surely visit you. And he tells them, you swear, uphold, that my bones will leave with you. To which Moses, as we read, fulfilled his wish. And so again, we might ask the question, what's the big deal? I mean, once you're dead and you're buried, I mean, Joseph was God. He went to heaven. cares about the bones? I mean, who cares about the bones? What's the big deal? Well, it was a big issue with Joseph. Why was it a big issue with Joseph? Real simple. Because Joseph wanted to be identified with the people of God and not with the people of the world, which is Egypt. That's why. That's why. Now, Brother Dan, I might be stretching this a little bit here, but just give me a hearing ear. I'm just stretching it. I'm not saying that this is real, but I'm just stretching this a little bit. Like baptism. Well, the brother said, we don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We're baptized after the Lord saves us. And what is the major purpose of baptism? It's to what? To be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. That I died to the world, I died to everything, and I'm alive to God. And so, like baptism, we're identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph wanted to be identified with the people of God. That's why he wanted his bones in Egypt. Now, this is the stretching right here, Brother Dan. There is a sense that his bones were baptized. I didn't get an amen from Baptist people. Well, amen. Joseph was identified with the people of God. And I'm sure somebody's saying, Pastor Joe, you're saying that those bones were baptized? Well, I kind of. I mean, you know, 1 Corinthians 10. I mean, I just read where it says that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud of the sea. And those bones were with them. So there is a sense that maybe those bones were baptized. Maybe Joseph was a Baptist and he wanted to be identified with the people of God. That's all I'm trying to say. Amen. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there, brother. I mean, there's no doubt that after 430 years of being in bondage with awful trials and tribulations, after 430 years, the people of God have been delivered. But Moses, again, with that faithful heart, made sure that the bones were with him. And again, my dear brethren, this is such a glorious, clear act of faith. And no doubt a glorious inspiration to the people of God. And so we've seen the promise in the fixed heart and the performance in the faithful heart. And then lastly, the perseverance in a fruitful heart. Now I want to come back to Joseph a little bit. Because we see that Joseph's heart was fixed, cemented, saturated with the promises of God. And nothing was going to shake him. And that's why he made sure that when he died, that when the people were delivered from God, he made a commandment, make sure you carry out my bones with you. For God will surely visit you. And we know that God did visit the Israelites. And God fulfilled the faithful desire of Joseph. God visited the people and Moses. They were delivered by a mighty right hand. And the bones of Joseph left Egypt forever. I mean, if I were to describe Joseph in two words, I think those two words would be faithful and persevering. I think they epitomize, exemplify the life of Joseph, which is manifested in a fruitful life. Therefore, the perseverance in a fruitful heart. We have the last days of Joseph recorded for us in Genesis 50. And the last few verses embody that fixed heart of that persevering faith that he characterized as a follower of Jehovah. These few verses record the great profession of faith by Joseph. And we marvel that he went to great lengths. That is, Joseph went to great lengths mentioning his bones. I mean, he only had a few revelations from God, some dreams, and the promises that were given to him. The oral transmission again from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's about to die. What is he concerned about? His bones. That his bones will not always be in Egypt, but they would find their everlasting rest in the promised land. Again, my dear ones, this is an act of faith. Why is it so important? Again, because Joseph wanted to be identified with the people of God in the promised land, which it is a type of heaven, Egypt a type of the world. He's going to die, and he wants his bones in Canaan. Amazing. He doesn't give any instruction about the abandoning of being second in command under Pharaoh. He doesn't give any instructions regarding to his wife, or didn't give an instruction to his children. But before he dies, he makes sure that he makes a covenant with the people. He commands them and he tells them, God will surely visit you. And when God delivers you, he makes them take the oath that you carry my bones from Egypt into the promised land. He wanted to be identified with the people of God, not the world. May God give us that same glorious conviction that we're not so concerned about being identified with everything else, but to be identified with God, to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, with His people, not the world. So I ask you, what about you this morning? I mean, are you more concerned to be identified immediately with your fleshly family or with the family of God? Are you more interested in being identified with the world? What does the world think of you? Or being identified with God? Being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? Being identified with the Bible? See, that was Joseph. Time's escaping. I need to bring this quickly. I want to just share something with you real quickly and just provoke you. If I were to ask you a question, because I'm sure most of you read the life of Joseph, verses 37 to 50. If I were to ask you to take a thought of the life of Joseph, what part of the life of Joseph would stand out to you? Let's say you were given an assignment that you had to write a little short paragraph about the life of Joseph. What would you write about? Plus, you only have 22 words. Not 23, not 21. You have 22 words. And you have to write something about the life of Joseph. What would you write? What would I write? I wrote about 12 things real quickly. I can just go through those. And I'm sure probably hitting some of the things you would think you would write. But, you know, these are things that I think kind of stand out to me in the life of Joseph. There's many things. I think I would write about how he continued to serve God, especially being sold into slavery in Egypt. Most of us would have been murmuring and complaining again. Why me, Lord? Why me? Oh, Lord, you repay me like this after being faithful to you. So I think I would write about his persevering spirit. I would write about his faithfulness to God. Thirdly, I would write about his chastity. Remember, he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Nobody would have known, but he was faithful to God. Fourthly, I can write about his recompense or reward for his holy action. He's faithful to God, and then he's put in prison for it. Again, how many of us would complain? I would write maybe about his faith, how he maintained his faith, having patience in the promised dreams. Remember, God gave him some promises. God gave him some dreams. I love what it says in Psalm 105. Don't turn it out. I'll read it to you real quickly. In Psalm 105, it says, moreover, he called, as God called, for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they heard with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, and the word of the Lord tried him. In other words, Joseph was put in the iron of affliction. But in great unwavering patience, he waited patiently for the promises of God to be fulfilled. I love what it says there in Psalm 105, 19. Until. You see, that's faith, my dear one. He waited. God gave him these dreams in Genesis 37. And I don't want to go and take the time to read them, but you know what they were. And God gave him these dreams, and he clung to those promises. He clung to those things, and nobody would shake him, even in the depths of prison. No matter how bad things got, in faith, he laid hold, even when he was laid in the affliction of iron. And it says, until, that the word came, and the word of God tried him. Do you know how many arrows Satan would shoot at him when he was down in the prison. Yeah, don't beam your head. People be bowing down to you. Yeah, the moon and the stars. Yeah, Joe. Can you imagine Satan is shooting all those arrows at him, afflicting him? Here, God gave me a promise, and I'm in prison. Until. I love that. Until. In great, unwavering patience, he waited patiently for the promise of God to be fulfilled. With immense patience, until the word of God tried him. I know some of you don't know Gordon Bayless, but I know you do, Brother Cozart. And one of my favorite phrases from Gordon Bayless, he always used to say this, Brother Cozart, quote, God gives us promises, but he doesn't give us dates, unquote. Amen. I love that. The promised word of God tried him. And Joseph waited patiently for his God. I'm sorry, that was 56 words. I said 22. I kind of cheated a little bit. But anyway. Then, number 6, I'll write about the wisdom and judgment in Genesis 39. Remember what he told Pharaoh? And even what he told those that were prisoners and things like that. I will write about his fear of God. In Genesis 42:18, he said, for I fear God. His compassion for his brethren. His obedience. There's so many things. You know, I think that if I was to write one specific thing about the life of Joseph, perhaps of all the examples of this godly man, we can look at the one that I think, and you might agree with me, where he stood out in great faith, and you touched on this earlier, brother, in your sermon. I think if I were to write something about Joseph, it would be in Genesis 50:20, where he told him, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people's life. Here he had the opportunity. And they finally, the dream came to pass because all his brothers bowed before him, didn't they? Woo! Glory, amen. It came to pass until, but now it came to fruition. And now he had the power. Can't wait to get to these guards. Can you imagine what they did for me? And what has been in prison and all I went through because of your foolishness? Thank be to God he didn't have a spirit of bitterness in his heart. He had a spirit of grace and he forgave. I think that's what I would write about Joseph. I mean, that's me. That's me. Teaching us to submit to providence even when it frowns upon us. And the grace of forgiving those who have hurt us the most. But the question is, not so much what would you write, what would I write? What would God write about Joseph? In passing, I need to say, Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. I think this is so true even in the application of Joseph's life. Because my thoughts are not God's thoughts. And truly, his thoughts are not my thoughts. And I'm sure you probably thought I forgot Hebrews 11, didn't you, brother? I didn't. Now we can turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:22. And verse 22 is made up of 22 words. And that's where I got my 22 words. What would I write about God? I mean, what would I write about Joseph? But what would God write about Joseph? All the things that transpired in his life. What does God write about Joseph? By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Woo-hoo! That blows my mind totally, brother. Because I never would have written about bones. Bones. Oh. But you see, as I said, those bones preach a sermon, don't they? Speaks of the faithfulness of God. Yea, the faithfulness of Joseph also. My. amazing. This text passes over all the events in Joseph's astonishing and exceptional life and makes reference to the bones of Joseph in a mere 22 words. And so this is the essence of my message. I mean, there's something about the bones of Joseph that preaches to us concerning the perseverance, even of our faith. Thus, the title to my message, The Bones of Joseph, An Act of Faith. And so Exodus 13:19 resonates with the display of both Joseph and Moses' faith. But what we see clearly is that when Joseph is about to die, again, he sets forth, displayed that incredible prevailing faith. And I can assure you that Joseph's coat of many colors comes short in this glorious shade of such astonishing faith that staggered not at the promise of God. And here we have Joseph at the height of his glory in Egypt, who believed God in trying circumstances that would probably cause most men to forget God. Joseph knew he was dying. But his faith, he trusted God. He believed in God. His faith was cemented, fixed in the promises of God. You see, death is a great test of a man's true heart. It exposes what's really in the heart of a person. You know, death knocks down, as somebody said, bowing walls and tottering fences. Death will expose self-righteous religion. Death will expose self-righteous people. Death will expose all false believers. And I believe perhaps the writer of Hebrews is trying to convey to us that the greatest and brightest instant of faith of this great saint of God was his death. At death, Joseph was not concerned what man would say. No, he was concerned of what God would say. And he is one whom we can describe. He had such confidence, certainty, conviction, cemented in faith. You see, while he lay dying, he remembered the covenant. And he wanted to be remembered as one who followed Jehovah. So he wanted to be identified with the people of God. Joseph knew his brethren would be in bondage to Pharaoh. He knew they would become slaves in Egypt. But he also knew they would escape. And this is where, again, faith has to come in. And we know Hebrews 11:1, where it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. I mean, if you can see it, how can it be faith? And so here we see how faith is described in the life of Joseph. And he knew and believed that his bones would be buried in the promised land. In the promised land. Joseph's faith in Jehovah God was astounding. It identified them with him. So Joseph prepares to die. He's not looking backward to perhaps all the things that happened to him, the bad things. No, he is looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham and his posterity. Joseph, again, firmly and wholly believed that what God had promised him and his forefathers and was concerned for that one day they would be delivered and they would go into the promised land. And when this would happen, Joseph, by faith, wanted to make sure that his bones would be present where? In the promised land. Why? Because he wanted to be identified with God's people, not with the infidels of Egypt. Joseph is not being superstitious or whatever. No. He did this by an act of faith. It was a testimony to the promise and power of God and those who are followers of God. It was a powerful act of faith on his behalf. And also on the behalf of Moses, we must add there also. Almost reminds me also of Revelation 14:13. It says, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord and from henceforth, yea, say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, but their works to follow them. And oh boy, did the works of Joseph follow him, didn't they? So here we have it. Joseph is about to die. No doubt he might be concerned about his brethren. They can be put into bondage. But he encourages them. God will surely visit you. That is, God will come one day. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, here you have Joseph. He might have sat on the throne of Egypt with Pharaoh, but his heart and his mind was upon God and God's promises. I mean, we might sit upon this world's blessings, upon this world's possessions, upon this world's prestige, but by faith, one day we have the promise that we will also inherit that heavenly Canaan. You see, when death comes a knocking to all of us one day, it will determine the strength of your faith. You see, because death is the acid test of faith for all people. And so the question I ask you as I conclude my message this morning, will your faith defeat death? When death comes upon you, will your faith conquer death? No doubt Joseph's faith defeated death. But that's Joseph. What about you? What about me? Will your faith defeat death, or will death defeat your faith? I can't answer for you. I can only answer for myself. Will your faith die with your death? Or will your faith carry you to the glories of heaven? Will you die the death of the righteous? Or will you die the death of the wicked? Death will come to all of us. How will you die? Can we say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? I mean, does your faith believe that death is swallowed up in victory? At death, can you recite the words of the Apostle Paul with an unwavering and unshakable faith when he said, for I'm ready to be offered and the time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there is a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has, the righteous judge, shall give to me in the last day. Not to me only, but to all those that also love his appearing. May God add to the preaching of his word. Brother Dan.